Blog Talk Radio.
Live Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes,
Indeed. Good evening, good night, good morning, good day, good you. Thank you for joining us and welcome to Ancestral Blueprints with Ade Ombassa and Lisa Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
And how are the ladies doing today?
We're doing wonderful, aren't we, Lisa?
I'm feeling so grateful to be with both of you.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it's another day of Ancestral Blueprints. I always look forward to Mondays. Thank God it's Monday. Forget Friday. Monday is what we need to talk about. Monday is where the exciting stuff happens, where lives are transformed and hearts are healed. Thank you for joining us. We see some guests in the chat room. It's okay to be a guest, to be a silent listener, or you can register, and that way you can interact with the chat room. And if you got questions, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And this week we're continuing the conversation we started last week, and we're looking at the presidential elections. This is part two. Last week was pretty hot, smoking, I must say. I mean, I couldn't even touch my computer because it was just too hot. I had to move away. I had to operate my computer from another room, open the windows. And so today we're continuing that conversation. And the last week's show, we looked at a lot of different things. I mean, one of the things we talked about is last time we elected Bush out of our shadow. We talked about embracing what we see is being revealed through Sarah Palin and McCain and maybe even Obama. You know, some people, not everybody's for Obama, so we've got to remember that. We're not going to say who we're for, but, you know, just so you're interested, we're not going to tell you who we're for. But, you know, there's things that's being reflected back to us, and the idea is for us, well, Ancestral Blueprints anyway, is to see what part of that resonates with us and what does that mean, what's the connection, you know, to go deeper than just a regular intellectual banter. We also, what else have we talked about? Yeah, we're talking about, you know, which I think is very powerful, that it is impossible for us to elect a leader or leaders that are truthful unless we understand, acknowledge our ancestry. Look at the history of America. Look at it. Stop denying it. Stop hiding from it. Stop resisting it. Just, you know, look at it, embrace it, recognize it. And then we can start having leaders that represent what we're about. Of course, all of us have different values and beliefs, but there's still a way for us to have all these values and beliefs and still have a system that works for everyone involved. There's, you know, there's going to be some people who are never happy. There's going to be people who are not satisfied. So today we're going to continue that conversation. And I think, Lisa, it'd probably be best. I left the listeners with questions, yes, last week about, you know, would we be having this conversation if Obama was white? Well, not if he was white. If he actually claimed that he's white, mm-hmm. as opposed to saying he's African American, what kind of conversation would we be having? And the mm-hmm. other question was, if Obama was a Republican, would we go vote Republican? Would we vote for him? Would we say, oh, my God, I love that man, but he's a Republican? But before we address those things or maybe what it brings up for you, one of the things that we left this when we were ending the show was about embracing the things that we see that's been reflected back to us. I was saying how, you know, there's a lot of emails going around about Sarah Palin, and you were talking about, you know, it's about us looking at it, embracing it. You were also saying, you said that there's a lot of atrocities that have happened in the history of America, and you were saying something like, you know, you're not making light of it, and you're not saying we should just accept that, embrace it. But yeah, can you tell us more what you were saying about that?
Yeah, I was feeling all that too right before we started the show today. At the very end last week, we were talking about, with our history being what it is, there is quite a lot of trauma, especially in the first 200 to 300 years, this I would call it a traumatic bond between European Americans and African Americans and Native Americans.
Mm.
And so this picture of a trauma bond where there is a, it's a victim-persecutor kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
This has been internalized. This has been held in the American soul for generations. And it's just so important to be respectful of this picture. And on the one hand, it's true that all this linear time has gone by. Four or 500 years have gone by. And from the outside looking in, maybe for all of us who are alive today, we can certainly see the what we would call progress or healing that's happened because of laws that have been passed, and things are different today in many ways than they were 100, 200, 300 years ago. But at the same time, those pictures of all that happened, there are pockets in the soul where what happened is frozen. And in order for each of us, however we have inherited those pictures, to really see them and to allow them to melt, we need to have a feeling of safety.
Right.
And respect and trust. There needs to be a climate where these ingredients are in place in order for those pictures that have been frozen to come into light. You know, when I look at what's happening with the economy the last week, when I look at the vote today with this bailout bill, and it, it's pretty much, it's split down the middle, not along partisan lines, but it's about half and half of the House, you know, and it's a pretty intense debate. I look at that, and my spirit wonders what it was like when those decisions were being made in the late 1700s about the institution of slavery.
Mm.
And the economic necessity. There was a decision made at that point in our country's history that, well, we can't imagine dismantling this institution that we all know is wrong.
Mm.
And it was because they didn't know how to get out of that economic boat that it continued.
Wow.
And so, you know... These are the kinds of, when we were speaking last week, you know, those pictures are in each of us individually and collectively as a whole people here on this land.
Well, you know, when I think about it, there are times when we do shows and we talk about the blueprints or family constellation, there's a part of me that sometimes feels like it seems overwhelming to go back the histories that we've denied, that we resisted. It just seems, and I guess that's why we denied it and trying to keep it
exactly.
Secret. It's
exactly.
Too much. And so, you know, when you last week we had someone in the chat room say they're not voting, and the conversation we had, you and I, was, you know, it could be pledging allegiance to their ancestors. You know, some people are voting for Obama because, and really think about it, it's a very good point, because of their ancestors. Some people are voting for McCain because of their ancestors. And I think with Obama, what came up for me is, you know, people are voting because saying, I know my great-great-great-grandfather couldn't vote, and he was a slave, and for that, I'm voting Obama. I don't care which side of the table he's on. So it's an interesting perspective. But how do we slowly allow the traumas of the past to melt, so
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, because I feel like this whole thing about economy, you're talking about $700 billion, like,
mm-hmm.
give it to us and we see what we can do with it, but you know, don't ask no questions. It seems like it's creating more of the same. So for those that would rather see something different,
mm-hmm.
how can we take the how can we break this down into bite size where we can digest it and be the healing, be the change we want to see?
Exactly. You know, I can only say for me what I noticed, which is that the past is right here in front of us.
Oh, wow. Yes.
You know, it's not, it is absolutely overwhelming to see, to have any sense of recognition about the connection between the past and the present, and to notice that impulse of how overwhelming it is exactly what's necessary, is to notice the feeling of, oh, it's overwhelming, I feel helpless, I don't know what to do about that, I'd rather not look at that. That is it. That is what has been frozen for hundreds of years. That's exactly what was going on in the 1700s. That's not today, that's yesterday, and it's now.
So the more we avoid go ahead.
Yeah, well, and so this is very powerful to share this with just one other person. Here, you know, the three of us are on this call together, inviting other people to join us in this conversation, in this recognition. And it's just like that whole TV Clairol commercial, you know, from the 70s and the 80s, you know, where the TV did that split screen and they tell two people and they tell two people and so on and so on and so on, you know. This is just kind of it.
Right.
You know, because we cannot change the past, but we do not have a chance to change the future unless we recognize for how many generations we've been saying that. For how many generations there has been an impulse that's been sent like an electrical impulse from one generation to the next that says, well, how do I just do it differently?
Doing it differently. So unless we are able to face the past with compassion and acceptance, we won't be able to move forward. Well, we'll move forward, but we'll still be moving forward with the pain. The pain that's showing up through this election, the pain of gender, the pain of race, the pain of age, the pain of, so it's staring us in the face. So we actually have the opportunity to, in a way, rewrite history. That's what I get from it. Like, this is another way for us to rewrite history. But there's so much information coming at us from the mainstream media, from the news, print, you go to all the news channels. There's so much coming at us that how do we separate ourselves from what we're being told? Sometimes I feel part of what they're saying on, it doesn't matter if it's CNN, MSNBC, some of those information are not really true, but it still goes in our consciousness. So how can we separate what they're saying that seems very genuine from what we need to do to be able to move forward and get to a place where we can elect leaders that are truthful?
Yes, well, I wonder what happens if we look at the media messages and we say, yes, that is exactly me. And we let it really be, we let ourselves see, so even in those Fox News TV shows, we let ourselves be honest.
You have to go there.
And then my bias come through. You know, we can let ourselves with compassion be really truthful about what's the thread of connection between those media pictures and what goes on inside of me or what's going on inside of my ancestry. And maybe the target is different, you know, because a lot of the media pictures, especially the Fox one, you know, there's an impulse to blame other. There's an impulse to be in that scapegoat kind of energy. Well, most families have scapegoats. Most families have that thread running through them that wants to blame somebody that's different, or somebody did something wrong, or what they thought was bad, or this kind of thing. So the picture might
Fox.
Be... Yeah,
yes, go ahead.
Well, the picture might look different. You know, it might be on the TV channel. It might be Bill O'Reilly talking about somebody. So the faces are different, but the impulse is the same.
Right. So, like, yeah, exactly. Cause it, yeah. And the input, we're feeling what we're feeling. They trigger something in us. So what would you say to people like me who watches Fox for a little while and then say, that's enough? Because I feel something inside them going. And from an intellectual perspective, I can say that I changed the station because I just feel like I don't want that in my consciousness. It's not, it's invoking an energy that I'd rather not create. I don't want to see created in my world. Are you saying that I should be able to watch Fox and what they bring up for me and say, well, that's me, and still be able to watch it?
I'm saying that I think that there's a usefulness in recognizing the who it is inside of me or what it is inside of me that resonates, that I don't want to see in myself when those pictures are in front of me. And there's not a linear measurement of it, but when there's a feeling of that there's enough there are enough ahas, there's enough recognition of that fuels compassion, that gets a candle burning of consciousness.
Right.
Then letting that spread, wherever and to whoever it wants to spread, because we need as much of it as we possibly can get going.
So for those listening for the first time, we've got, let's see if I put it, Candelo, I don't know if a new guest, maybe they just registered, first time joining us. Music Woman's in the chat, and we thank you for joining us. Music Woman has been here. She knows about the show. But what we're talking about is from a family constellation perspective, but it doesn't even put it in a box. It's bigger than that because, Lisa, as I listened, last week, I say that the world we see outside is a reflection of our consciousness. So what I'm looking at that brings up whatever kind of emotion, be it happy, sad, it's reflecting me. It's reflecting who I am. So as I listen, when we take the family constellation approach, remembering the blueprints of our ancestors, understanding that we are all one, we are connected by this universal energy, and the way we create the change we want to see is to do our part by recognizing when the energy that might seem negative or is an energy of resistance, that we can heal that energy in our own self, in turn contributing to the society that we created. That's how I would summarize it. What do you think? Do you think it's slightly different, or you see it differently?
I feel really gifted to feel that, what you just said, to feel that thread of integration, what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is exactly, what we need for each person, for you, for Mbasa, for me, for Music Woman, for every person, to allow whatever wants to be integrated that hasn't. And that means letting those pictures of truth from our ancestries just be accepted and recognized, that those integrations want to happen. They are happening. Letting ourselves, share those with one another.
Mm.
And then we can elect leaders from a greater sense of integration rather than fragmentation.
Yes. I say yes like that because what I was thinking. It's like, okay, so we do that. It's like you were speaking, I was questioning and you were answering it. And from a place of integration, it's because it's okay for me, that I was listening to a talk radio today, and I heard one the DJ and people call in saying they just can't see themselves voting for a black man. They see what it's about and they feel like, yes, it's what we need, but they just cannot see themselves voting for a black man. And instead of shooting ourselves in the foot, it doesn't matter if it's saying I can't see myself voting for a white man either. And I don't know if it was Chris Rock. I was watching another talk show, and it was Chris Rock on Larry King, and he was talking about Larry King asking a question about Obama being black, something around that. And he said, well, but black people have been voting for white people for as long as we can remember. So yeah. Why is it such a big deal now that there's a possibility of having a black man in the White House? It's the question becomes, do you believe, do you think white people will vote for a black man? You don't really say, do you think black people are going to vote for a white person, a white woman, a white man? So all that question itself suggests that someone resolve issues. That's what that says to me. It's easy when we ask that question.
Say that again, that it raises which kind of issues?
It shows that we still have the issues. We just
absolutely.
It's easier
absolutely.
To say, do you think people will vote for a Mexican, a Native American, than to say, you know, there's some issues, there's some trauma we need to address. It's a lot easier to ask questions like that. And I don't know if they interview me on CNN, I think that they either won't call me back or they'll give me my own show. It's one of the two. It's one of the two. They're gonna say, "Don't you ever bring that guy back?" Because we weren't trying to go there. Or they say, "Wow, that's a perspective we never thought of." Okay, let's go into the questions that I raised last week. And it's the best way I can ask it. And I just, as we always do on the show, I love the show because it challenges me to think and be differently. So it's not really a question. Well, it's a question for the listeners, but for you, Lisa, it's a thought. And the thought for me was, and which made me ask, is like, if Obama was, if he claimed more his white side, and he said he was a white person, as opposed to claiming that he's African American, because he's saying, I am an African American. Do you think we'll be going through this kind of debate and anger and emotion that's happening right now? Do you think they would have wrapped it up and said, oh, Obama's going to win?
I think that it's a terrific question. And what I picture is that if he claimed his whiteness, I think that a lot of white people would not understand it. Because they see the skin color as the definition, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They wouldn't. It is the saying about whoever is in a position of privilege are the least ones who are able to see their privilege.
Say that again.
You know.
Say that again.
Yeah, that's true.
And so African people, you know, black people could look at that and say, of course, you know, they could, of course, you know, of course, because the culture has been defined according to white culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Been what's been considered the dominant culture. And so I think that white people, this is just how fate has gone, you know. This has just been how the deck has been stacked, and it's up to each of us doing exactly what we're doing to bring consciousness so that the deck can be stacked differently, you know?
Right.
Okay,
so another – go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say another question. If Obama was a Republican, what do you think people want to vote for him, but they would say, well, but, you know, he's a Republican, or – the Republican Party, the energy, does it allow for an Obama? So it's a two-part question.
I think that the Republican Party today does not.
Okay.
But, you know, Abe Lincoln was Republican.
Right.
I don't really, you know, this is where over the last 3 years, you know, I can't get enough history because there's so much. There really is so much fascinating, diverse, wacky information about our U.S. history to learn, that if we allow ourselves, we have a commitment and an attention and an intention to really look at our history, man, we could learn so much.
Yes.
I think we, for all of us, you know, I don't know enough about what happened with party politics, you know, between then and now. So I think the Republican Party today, frankly, I think it would have everything to do with his faith. group.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if he was, I think if he was a real fundamentalist, evangelical, Christian, I think that might be more the defining factor.
Yeah, I hear you. We've got a listener who's got a question or a comment, so I'm going to go to the listener. I think it's Music Woman. And let's do this. Work with me. Work with me.
Hello?
Hello, Music Woman. How are you doing?
I'm ecstatic. First of all, Linda is bringing up, Lisa's okay. Bringing up a lot of stuff, boy. She is really, but she's on the ball because what I wanted to say to you when you asked that question was exactly what she said. You know,
what question was
color,
that?
The color
what
thing.
What question
is
was that? Well, okay, the color.
If Obama embraced his white side, he does embrace. He embraces both of the sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all people who are mixed embrace both of their sides.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say especially past the 70s. Because before that, people were trying to pass, you know. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I think this may be something that maybe Lisa hasn't talked about. When I was in college back in the 70s, I took a philosophy class, and I had to write a paper on love. And I chose to write that white people are the children of black people, and just the way that children treat their parents is the same way that white people treat black people. Like,
mm-hmm.
okay, mom, I'll do it. You just sit there, and you don't do nothing, you know, or mom, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Can you do this? Meanwhile, I got to go do this, you
mm-hmm.
see. And I got an A+ on this paper because I gave perspective to the race problem. You know, it really isn't a race problem. It's an ancient problem.
Yes.
And the problem is the children think that they know more than the parents.
Yes, absolutely.
And this bailout situation goes right back to that. Well, mom,
yes.
my stuff failed. Can you help me out?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-uh. I can't help you out of this one. You made your bed. You need to lay in your bed.
Yeah.
And if we as a people don't say no to Bush, they will take that money and divvy it up amongst the rich, and we'll just be broke again.
Yeah.
That's what children do. So if you change your perspective, you know, you're talking about ancestral blueprint. And the blueprint, turn it around. Turn it around. Don't just look at the parent, look at the child looking at the parent. Have the parent look at the child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the place of the parent looking at the child is when love is flowing well, the place of the parent looking at the child says, my life is none of your business. And whatever I've done in my life belongs to me. These consequences are mine. And your place is not between me and any other grown-ups, between me. So maybe it's between a mother and a father, or between parents and their parents, or back in whatever happened in the ancestries before. Your place is in front of me, not behind me.
And
we
there's
do
also
not
a lot of abuse. This
yes.
time, this way, there is a lot of abuse of parents, and that's because the parents have spoiled the children.
Yes, yes. And the yes, I agree. And there is, and we have this generational, in many families, there's been a disconnection from one generation to the next. So the parents who have lost connection with their parents find themselves in a real pickle with their children.
Hmm.
And that's America.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And though, and so we create, we've created institutions like the government out of that disconnection from family.
Hmm. So when we talk about the bailout here, though, what I want to ask you, Lisa, and Ms. Woman, feel free to add your comments as well. When we talk about this bailout, what power do we, the people, have in what happens? Because Congress just, you know, they haven't accepted it, I don't think, unless they just did it before we came on air. But do we have any power to say which way it should go? I mean, and what I'm hearing, I'm kind of understanding it. But the part that I keep hearing over and over is basically Paulson is asking for $700 billion. We could be more than that, a three-page of writing what they need and the rules and how they want it. And but what power do ordinary people have in the say-so of what in that? And when you're talking in the context of family constellations, ancestral blueprint, how do we write this kind of mindset, Lisa?
Yes. Well, if I had the verifiable answer to that, you know, we would all be on Oprah tomorrow.
You changed our mind, huh?
So
you
there,
changed
yeah,
our mind.
I just want to put that little humble disqualifier there. I can say that for me, what I've done is I got on the phone with my congresspeople last week and gave them my opinion, and I wrote them my little emails. And that's become a practice in part. The more I do that, the more I feel this sense of I don't have to know everything in order to do that. That's kind of the point. You know, there's a whole lot of people who are, I think, intimidated, understandably, from taking that action because something that's unfamiliar if they haven't done it before, it could feel scary to do it. And one of the things that I said to people, to my Congress people, was that this looks to me like we're back where we were in the 1700s, where there was taxation without representation.
Call it what
American,
it is.
It is. The American people don't have lobbyists. Institutions have lobbyists. But the millions of the rest of us, are, you know, all of us little citizen taxpayers, that's what it looks like. And so, and the other thing I did today is I wanted to know what did this bill look like. So I looked it up on the web. And it's 109 pages long, which is a lot of reading, and so I did not read it line by line, but I skipped to the, you know, there's a lot of, the language is what it is. It's not everyday, you know, regular language. So it takes some, for me, patience in accessing another part of my brain, you know, to really soak in the meaning of what it says. But that felt important to do. To read the text,
right,
of the bill, you know, and I also think. Say again.
I think it's about personal empowerment.
Exactly, and I, and I'm not special by doing it. You know, I'm just. It's not like I have a special expertise in knowing how to read bills. You know, I just knew I needed to do that. I also think that what we're doing right now makes a difference. I think this consciousness thing is, again, way, way more powerful than a lot of times it's easy to see. And so I think that what we're doing just right now, having this conversation, really matters in that collective energy field. So
may I say something?
Yes, please.
That's why we have life conversations.
Absolutely.
The world with every word that we speak,
mm-hmm.
and we are changing it. We are, the word is not coming to me, but Linda
Lisa.
And Ade and Ombasa are facilitators. You are facilitating the changes in the world with your speech. So Life Conversations is moving us from where we are to where we want to be.
Where you want to be. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Always appreciate you. You're going to keep listening on the tap or you're listening on your computer? Are you there?
Huh?
I said you're going to keep listening on Skype or you're going to listen on your computer?
Oh, I'm listening on Skype.
Okay, cool.
I'm on Skype, and it's fine if you want to turn me off because I'll type in the room if I just got to say something. But
right, and if you have a question or comment, just push the number one again on your, you know.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here with you because you're doing beautiful.
Okay, sorry. Say that again. It looks like you're giving me a compliment. Say that again.
That's right.
I'll mute you out. No, what? Okay, start that again. It looks like what?
You're doing beautiful work. You know, ever since I met you, it's not a personal thing, really. You are, I found what I've been looking for in you and Ombasa and Lisa.
Yes.
And so many people, you got 9 people listening. You probably got 100 people that need to be listening. Mm-hmm. And those 9 people need to go and get 9 other people and bring them to this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know, for some reason, I trust whatever it is as you're speaking. I also did this. It took me a week to do it, and so it as a reminder of how we need each other. Last week in the call, we were talking about voting and people who are unable to vote, either because of their immigrant status or some other reason, you know, people who would like to vote but can't, and people who can vote but are not registered or not inclined to vote. We were talking about that and what an important dialogue that is.
It
and
is.
I emailed the Obama campaign today with my suggestions, and I said, you know, we got this radio show, and this is what we're talking about. And we recommend that you consider bringing more consciousness to these populations and what an important conversation this can be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so glad you brought that up because I wanted to say something to that. We got quite a few people in the chat room. Condella, I hope I pronounced that right, said, I lost my voting rights a long time ago. And there's never been a time in my life that I really wanted to vote as I do now. And that was actually going to that question. It's like, I mean, when we talk about from a human perspective, what does that do to us as a group, as humanity, as an individual who really wants to vote, but maybe for some reason, some mistakes they made in the past, especially, I would say, especially if they're an American citizen, and they've made the pay their dues to society, but somehow they can't contribute to what goes on in their lives.
Yeah, this is a really important group of people. That, you know, so that caller, you know, bless their soul for being with us today. That, you know, people who are in that position are holding an enormous amount of wisdom and energy on behalf of our whole country. And it is really important that we hear from them.
It's
because the invisibility of their experience is holding energy back, not only for them, but for all of us. Mm-hmm. And so those of us who recognize that, like we are doing today, have a responsibility to spread that permission to other people.
And right, because there are people who can vote and saying I'm not voting. And it's like, what are you talking about? Just go in there and throw a dart, for goodness sake. Just throw a dart, wherever it lands on, just use it, okay? Because my thing is, if you've got the right to vote, and you're saying you're not voting because you don't like any of the parties, you're actually contributing to more of not liking any of the future parties because you are voting even when you're not voting. You're voting that things are okay the way they are, no matter what you say. And I want to tie what you said earlier about personal responsibility calling the Obama campaign when you call Congress. And I think that's the part that's missing sometimes for us where we complain and froth and say what's not going to happen. We sometimes forget to take the step. I have a friend of mine, actually, it's the Shumbe, the poet. He's also known as Truth Theory in my personal chat room. Instant message. He said, why are we hung up on something that is beyond our scope of achieving success? We spend a lot of time on what and who white people are that we lose ourselves. What we can learn from our ancestors is that they pushed for success no matter the struggle. In fact, they struggled for success. This generation and the one before it has fallen from thriving for success, and rather they feel they deserve and should be handed it. That basically success should be handed to them. The bailout is a scam. You want to borrow money to pay off a debt that will become more of a debt. This country needs rehab, not methadone. I totally agree. Rehab, and that's what Ancestral Blueprint, the show, is about. But I guess they're singing, what's the girl's name? They tell me, go to rehab. I say, no, no, no. This country say, no rehab for us. Just give us some more methadone. That should be the national anthem of this country. Oh, boy. Wow. And I think, okay. For me, it's something about personal responsibility that makes a difference. Don't you think, Lisa?
Well, I notice that when I say that, when I think about that, when I feel it, it registers. For me, what I notice is I stand up a little bit straighter.
Mm-hmm.
It has a dignifying effect.
Mm.
There's an integrity to it, and there's the effect of it is. There's a feeling of that it's a responsibility not only about me to myself, but to others too. I'm not just in the world by myself, but what I do, what I don't do, it matters. It has an effect.
Yes.
You
yes.
know?
Hmm. Okay.
Truly.
Yeah.
We've got some people listening on the phone line. The number, for those of you who are wondering about the phone line, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And those of you that are online, I know I can recognize numbers that are listening. There's a new number on there, 919. If you're calling to ask a question or make a comment, press the 1 on your keypad. That lets us know you got a question or a comment, and then we can come to you. Otherwise, we assume that you're listening. You've got about 12 more minutes to go. 12 more minutes to go, and a few days from the debate with the Sarah Palin and Biden and debate, which should be exciting. But when I say that, when we talk about should be exciting, I wonder if we get excited about the debate that's going to happen because we think these people are going to fight our battle. You know, most of us are feeling like Sarah Palin, she doesn't even need to be in this. How did she get here? So we're hoping that on that day, you know, it's going to be like a boxing match, that, you know, Biden is just going to take her to shreds. But if Biden comes in very polite, it's kind of like, I know I've had that conversation about the debates with McCain and Obama. I got a text email from a friend in England just saying, why was Obama being so nice? You know, so does this help anything, Lisa? And or does it actually cause us to create more of the same energy, the battle, the line and ads and saying somebody supported something that's not true? Is it just what it is?
Are the debates what they are, you mean?
Well, I'm talking about the energy that we would like. That I know I've talked to a lot of people, and people would like to see, you know, Obama just shred from McCain with words and saying, you lied about that. You know, it's almost like a fight.
Yeah.
You said this, it's not true. You know, without even sticking to the policy. People, there's a feeling of wanting to, you know, those of us that are sending emails around about Palin were saying, oh, man, I can't wait to see the debate. And then after that, we're kind of like, Oh, that was a waste of time. And so that energy, because you were talking about, we need to look at what this whole debate, the election, what is bringing up for us. If
yes.
we keep holding that kind of energy of attack, does that create more of the same?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a way of expressing what we feel?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to think that it's both. I mean, I'd like to think that there's a way, it must be that we get to have our own personal, just individual experience, our own feeling experience, whatever that is or isn't, plus it's connected with something bigger than us.
Mm.
That we don't have to pick between those two things. It, that there is this, you know, bigger multidimensional experience that we're having, whether we're aware of it or not, that there's not a picking that has to happen.
You saying that would be better?
I think it's just how it is, you know.
Right, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it is good food for thought. I feel it in myself. I mean, I, you know, sure resonate with some of what you said about the energy around the debate. And
right.
I also know, you know, there's going to be millions of people who would, maybe they've got the same energy, but it's opposite toward the candidates in an opposite way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're hoping that Palin is going to just show Biden how wrong he is. This kind of a thing, you know.
So
I think that whatever, I think there is a usefulness in terms of consciousness for each of us as we notice whatever that energy is, whatever our hopes are. So for the debate this week, whatever it is that I personally hope about it, to recognize it is connected with something bigger than me.
Mm.
And that what it's connected with, both in my own ancestry and in the human family, that all of it belongs.
Mm.
That all of it has a place.
Right.
I might not like that. I might wish it were different. But that's just going to kind of suck my energy away. It's not going to change it. Because if I try to put my energy in a place of trying to get rid of some opposing energy, it's going to have the opposite effect of what I would like. It's going to make it even deeper.
Yeah.
You know, that phrase, what we resist persists. There's a lot of truth to that, you know.
You in my head, I wouldn't want to go there, so we didn't have enough time. Because that's what I think, like you resist this Palin or McCain or Obama or whatever, you end up giving that energy to what you're resisting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, we got 3 more minutes to go in my personal chat room, instant message, Yahoo. The Sean Bay, the prophet. Yeah, I guess we can go for that. But the poet, he said, people have to know what it means to have personal responsibility. And he wants you to define what personal responsibility is. Or maybe what it means to you. Lisa?
he would like me to define what personal responsibility is?
Yes.
Was that it?
That's correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to have to think about it. It's funny. You know, this is my honest, it's a big question.
Right.
I can notice inside of me, I can notice, it's a really good question.
Yeah, especially with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah,
I actually like your answer because in the world that we live in now, we throw words around. It's so easy to throw words around.
Yeah.
But it's like now, in order to create something different, we have to rethink everything that we already know. We have to think about what we're saying while we're saying it, even before we are saying it, or else we just keep perpetuating the same madness. And
mm-hmm.
for me, I would say personal responsibility. We had a guest on our show last week, MK Asante. He's the director of a new documentary coming out called The Black Candle. And he said something that really resonated with me. He said when he has an observation, basically there's an obligation for him to do something about it. If he has an observation about something, oh, wow, that's not being done. Oh, I didn't notice that needs attention. Now there's a sense of obligation for him. And that, for me, is personal responsibility, because it's okay to want to put all this, whatever is going on in the world, on whoever is the president in January. But we, the people, need to walk in the same direction, especially when Obama said during his speech, this has never been about me, it's about you. And
yes,
some
absolutely.
Of us don't even know who you're talking to. But go ahead.
No, I'm just with you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we've got about 3 more minutes to go. Real quick, even though I can't believe this, there are people who are undecided. What are you undecided about? But anyway, I'm going to try and be neutral. There are people who are undecided. There are people who have the right to vote and saying, I'm not going to vote. What would you want to leave with them tonight, Lisa?
I would invite them to consider, maybe they know what this is, or maybe it's a new idea. I would ask them to reflect on who or what it is in their, not only their personal life experience, but in their ancestral maps. Who or what is it that they're in resonance with that's led them to make that decision?
Actually, okay, sorry, I just had a thought. And that's it. So there goes the personal responsibility. You know, if you're not going to vote, yeah, well, just check in with yourself. Check in. It's about being the change you want to see. We've been talking about family constellations, ancestral blueprints. For some of the listeners who join us for the first time today, they can say, well, what is this family constellations they keep talking about? Ancestral blueprint. Well, it does make sense, but what is it? Lisa, you're going to be in Atlanta sometime, is it next week? Maybe a little less than 2 weeks. And I'm facilitating the workshop. Can you tell us a little bit about the workshop in Atlanta and then maybe a little bit about family constellations?
Yes. In Atlanta, I'll be doing several different workshop circles, talks, and it will be everybody who's listening is invited to attend those. What they could do to learn the details about the schedule. Maybe I could, I'm thinking out loud here, could I email that to the both of you to have it on the live conversations?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
You mean the details? You're talking about the details for the...
Just the schedule, not like all the details, but just
okay.
Like
I'll
where they can go to for information.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay,
and,
okay.
Because
it's going to be October 9th through the 12th or 13th.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you... Go ahead.
Oh, and a little bit about the family constellation process. It's getting together with other people to experience how much in common our lives and our families have with one another. So it's a way for us to see live in 3D in front of us how these ancestral maps influence us and how the same things that have kept us, influenced us in our suffering or pain are the exact same things that once we see the picture with truth and compassion, allow that same energy to be released for freedom and belonging.
Nice.
So in a nutshell, that's what that is.
In a nutshell, and it's just a powerful workshop. Personal testimony, it's a powerful workshop. It's beyond the intellect. It's beyond the intellect because the intellect has a way of watering things down. And, yeah, we just want to thank everyone that's joined us. Meb, I hope I – yeah, that's Web. It's Web. It's not Web. It's Meb, M-E-B-B. And we got Poetic Soul in the chat room, Music Woman, Candelo, To Be Enlightened was in there, and Shumbe the prophet, Shumbe the poet. He's listening on the phone line. We got other people on the phone line. We've got a 919 number. We take your listening because you didn't press the one button. And, yeah, we're wrapping up the show. We'll be back on Thursdays for live conversations with Ade and Ombata. I don't know why I'm feeling there's something else I need to say, but I don't think there is. So, Ombata, anything you want to say? Lisa, anything you want to say? And
Once again, thank you, Lisa, for giving us our Ancestral Blueprint show today. And we look forward to everyone joining us on Thursday for Life Conversations, the radio show.
We love you madly too, Music Woman. And for all our listeners on the homepage, just click the set reminder button. So that helps you to remember, or you can set the time. It can remind you now before the show. You know how it works. You know how it goes. You know what it is. So click that so you can remember, so you're not going to miss any of the shows. And if by any chance you missed the show, you know you can listen on the archive. So those of you that are listening on the archive right now, so we're going to imagine the show is over because we can do that. Just leave a comment, rate the show, send us an email. Lisa's website is www, all those W's, I think I said it four times, family, Constellation West. Did I talk as fast as I typed? I think I think and talk faster than I type, so that always shows up. Yeah, Family Constellations West. You can find out some more information about Family Constellations. And I think that's it. If you want to send us an email, info@lifeconversationsradio.com, info@lifeconversationsradio.com. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. And because we thank God for you, we're going to play it. Some song for you. You know, this is our gift to you because we know we are on the same page, and we'll be back next week. Well, actually, no, in 2 days. All right, I gotta stop thinking and talking. You can't do it. All right, we're out of here.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment.
Love never fails. It is the things you do.
Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.